Blog Talk Radio.
Now I want everybody to clap your hands in this place.
Ladies and gentlemen, gentlemen and ladies, we want to bring to you Memphis' own. The world's been waiting on it, and now the wait is finally over. Chantel.
Trouble in my way. I have to cry sometimes.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Now you know Jesus will fix it. In other words, we don't have excuses. Jesus will fix it. And if you don't, listen, it's already done. Whatever it needs to be fixed, it is already done. This is your Fixer Six, and I am your host, Pastor Keeping It Real McNeil. Welcome, welcome, welcome to another beautiful day that the Lord has given us. Welcome, welcome, welcome to your Fixer Six. Amen. Glory to God. I know it's Labor Day, and I want to wish everyone a happy Labor Day, and I hope everyone is enjoying this beautiful day that the Lord has given us so we can rejoice in it and have such a great time. Amen. We're going to have prayer, and then we're going to talk about this great Labor Day. Amen. Father God, we thank you for your presence in our lives. We thank you for trusting us with another day. We thank you for trusting us with your breath. We thank you for trusting us to do thus saith the Lord. We thank you, Father, because you're God all by yourself. You don't have to have a reason to worship you and praise you. We praise you because it's in our DNA. We worship you because it's a part of our lifestyle. We love you and need you and desire you because you're all that we need. And so, Father God, as we come to you worshiping you and praising you and thanking you for all that you keep us away from and all that you keep away from us, we know that you are the Most High God. There's no other above you, and there's none like you or greater than you. And we say thank you, Father, for keeping us, trusting us, loving us, giving us favor, grace, and your mercy. And we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. Now, today, Father, show us how to go forth and do your work. We said this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Once again, I say happy Labor Day. And we're going to talk about Labor Day and what it may mean to you and what it may mean to whomever. Amen. I was sharing with First Lady and we was just having a conversation. And I was telling her I had a dream. And in my dream, it wasn't deep. It was just me, and I'm knowing that it was the Holy Spirit, and it was just it gave me a scripture. But not only did He give me the scripture, but with the scripture, He said, "I need them to do my work, not just them, not excluding me, because I'm a part of it, but I need them to do the work." And the scripture He gave me was in the book of Matthew chapter 9, verse 38. But if you allow me, I want to start at verse 36. Now, we won't be long. We're just going to have a little discussion and just want to express some things and share some things, share some gospel. I don't want to say I got to get out of that sense, share some things. I want to share the gospel of Christ. I want to share the wisdom of Christ. I want to share the anointing of Christ. And I want to share all the things that the Holy Spirit has allowed to fall upon me, that He has gifted me with far as an assignment. I want to share those things with His people. Amen. Glory to His name. And I'll be reading out of the King James. You know, I'm going to ask First Lady this, but I was reading out the King James Version, and I had the First Lady, I know she's probably listening, I need a Bible case. I have this Bible. This Bible is so special to me, and I know everybody have a reason for their Bibles, but there's such a story behind this Bible that I have. Before me and First Lady was even married, I just believe this was a gift from God. It was like it was almost laid in my lap on the day of our wedding, our engagement announcement. And this has been such a blessing. And every time I can never stop thinking about her. And that's what I like about it, because every time I read this Bible, every time I pick up this Bible, I know I'm studying and I know I'm doing what God wants me to do. And I know I'm trying to get closer to God and speak to God. But it always reminds me of that day when we announced my engagement. I can still see her. I can still see her blushing. It's just personal, but I like to share my life with my audience because my life is an open book. And maybe one day God will do something in your life that you would like to share, because we always want to share the goodness of the Lord. We want people to know that God is good and He does miraculous things, and He is good. He is good. But He needs us to continue to do the work. He need us to continue to do the work. Amen. Verse 36 says, "But when He saw the multitude, He was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith He unto His disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that He will send forth laborers into His harvest." Amen. You know, I sit and I think and I talk and I ask God a lot of questions, and on a daily basis, you know, I always say, Lord, can I do more? Can I do more? And a lot of times I think with me, we try to be so amazing. I try to be so amazing and do all these great, miraculous laying of hands and raising the dead. And sometimes God says, sometimes just write a letter to somebody that's suffering. You know, there's people who've been suffering through these tornadoes and hurricanes. How many of us has called the Blue Shield and Red Cross and asked, can we volunteer to answer a phone? If we can volunteer to say a prayer over line. How many of us went to the dollar store and got cosmetics and socks and put a scripture in them, or just send a prayer, a personal prayer over to somebody that needs it more than us? And that's the thing that I thought about when God said, you know, we go and we spend all this money on other things, and you can go right to the dollar store, not to say it's the price, but we can get much sometimes for less, but it does a better job because God is a part of it. It touches the heart. It breaks a spirit of depression. It breaks a spirit of despair. Somebody needs something, and they get it. And when God does it, you know, can you imagine? You put the toothpaste and the socks and whatever it may be, the item in, and it goes right to the right person, even though you don't know who's getting it, but God will know that it's getting right to the right person. That is labor. You have to get up. You have to pray. You have to get up, and you have to go get these items. You have to sit and write the scriptures. You have to sit and write a prayer. And the prayer, when it goes through the atmosphere, whoever may get these items, whoever may hear your voice over the phone, that is the thing that God is. That is the thing that God is using us. That is we are the instrument that God is using to do these things. We got to come out of thinking that the labor, yeah, the pastors and the bishops and all the church leaders, they have a work to do, but the work is in the vine, the vineyard, which is in the world, in the streets, in the recovery houses, in the shelters. And anywhere, your neighbor's house, your house, you know, we see the need. We have to come out of our comfort zone and put on our spiritual overalls. We have to put on our spiritual work boots. We have to put on our whole armor of God and get back to doing a work. Because in the book of Genesis, I think chapter 2, where we're talking about the Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to keep it. Our Garden of Eden is the world. God has put us here to keep it for him, and so the enemy won't grab a hold of it, so the enemy won't take the souls to hell. Jesus did not die for his people to die and go to hell. He did not suffer on the cross for them not to know the goodness of the Lord also. Yes, we know it. We know it. But we have to get to a point where we're doing the work. Because God created us to work. And I'm not talking about in some kind of sadistic sense of do his bidding or something like that, or we are faced with a wrath. But to like subdue the earth and have dominion over every living creature. Amen. Every living creature. That's Bible. That's Bible. We're supposed to have dominion over everything. Even Satan, even his imps, even the power of the devil. We're supposed to have dominion over these things. We're supposed to be able to speak peace, joy, storm be still, mountain move. Depression, go. High blood pressure, go. Cancer, go. We're not operating in what we're studying. If we're reading and God is saying, I give you this and I've gave you this and I raised you up to do this and I raised you up to do this. I've called you to do this. I've called you to do that. It's not only behind the building. It is not in the building. Our pews is just as big as the churches in you. If you have a small church, then you have a small pew. You see what I'm saying? The church is in us. The church is in us. We are to be the ones that they see. We are the light that they should see. Amen. We have to get back to doing the work. We have to get back to giving out the tracts. We have to get back to opening up soup kitchens. We have to get back to having 12 o'clock prayer at the church. We have to get back to going knocking on doors. We have to get back to having prayer, just standing outside holding hands, coming together one with another, praying in the spirit that these evil spirits and these spirits of murder and fires and disasters be broken. He has given us power to do these things. Wow, thank you, Jesus. Whew. He has given us this to have dominion over earth. In other words, all of life, all of every culture and work is to reflect the beauty, the glory, and the power of God. Amen. Because the scripture put emphasis on work throughout the Bible, not just in Genesis, throughout the Bible. And either, listen, I don't care if you're a pastor, a construction worker, elementary school teacher, college professor, entrepreneur, or a stay-at-home mom, or a teacher, or whatever. Work is rooted in God's good creation. It is to reflect his glory. Work is to reflect God's glory. Prayer is work. Fasting is work. Ministry is work. Studying is work. We have to get to the people. We have to start telling them about the goodness of the Lord. And we have to use whatever resources God has allowed us to have. Some of us have more than others. Some of us have creative minds. Some of us can sew. Some of us can create great items. And when was the last time you just sat home and created something beautiful and didn't think about getting done for it? But I'm going to take this down the street and just set it on somebody's door and knock on the door. Matter of fact, I'm not even going to knock on the door. I'm just going to, when they open the door, when they come home, it's there. And just leave a sign, Jesus loves you. That has to be embedded in us. That's the work. That's part of the labor. Amen? Of the labor. It is plainly laid out. It is plainly laid out in Genesis 2:15. It is plainly laid. Listen, I'll go to Genesis 2:15 because I don't like nobody say. I don't want nobody to say. I just made this up. Thank you, Lord. It's hot in here. Thank you, Jesus. And the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. To dress it and to keep it. Jesus himself was a carpenter, right? And his earthly father, Joseph, was what? A carpenter too, right? God himself even got his hands dirty when he made man out of dust from the ground. God got his hands dirty. He didn't get his hands dirty in a physical way, but he went to the dirt. He did the work to even create man. God did the work. God did the work. So if God can do the work, why can't we? He did the work to create us to do a work. So if God did the work to create us to do a work, what he created us to do, we should be doing. Because, you know, and I think about myself. I'm talking about me. I think about all, you know, throughout my life. I'm working for John Louis and this store, that market, this place. I'm doing all this, and I'm getting up early, and I'm getting there. I'm struggling, catching eight buses back, catching the rain, working overtime, doing all this for man. Who has done nothing for me? Has done nothing for me. But I can't put that same energy, that same power, that same enthusiasm in serving God. To get out and do what God has called me to do. I have to put that same traveling in the rain and the snow. And I know some of you mothers and some of you fathers who had jobs, especially back in the day, and you had to catch three trains. Some of y'all worked in other cities. Some of you work in hotels that you'll never be able to live in, hospitals that you can't afford to get sick in, working in restaurants you can't afford to eat in. But we serve a high God. We are the lenders and not the borrowers. We got to start walking in those scriptures, knowing who we are, walking in the faith that God said I am who he said I am. I am the lender, not the borrower. I am above and not beneath. Hallelujah. This doesn't mean that we're able to create things out of nothing like God did. When I say, I just want to make sure we get the understanding when I say God created man out of dirt. He did the work. I'm not trying to say that we can, unless God called you and set you to a side and told you, go ahead and do that, then you can do it. But I'm not trying to say, this doesn't mean that I'm able to create something out of nothing like God. But I am trying to say that we can create things out of something already created. We can create a better man out of a man who is suffering. We can create a better family out of a family who's not praying together. We can create a better gathering of the people when we fellowship one with another. They have to see us. They have to see us. We don't even make phone calls no more. But we're text, we're Facebook chat and all that other stuff. We don't listen. How many have you ever just picked up the yellow pages and picked the name? It's almost like what they call them, people just call you all the time. Just pick a random name. Hello, how are you doing? I know you don't know me. And just ask God, like, Lord, how can I be used to do a work? How can I be used? And when you ask God how to be used to do the work, however he tell you to do it, don't question it, do it. Because sometimes it's going to be uncomfortable. See, everybody want to do the glamorous work. Nobody wants to go under the bridge. Nobody wants to go into the shelter. Nobody want to go into that place that smells. Nobody want to go every week, and continue until the breakthroughs come. Amen? We have to do this until the breakthroughs come. Amen? Remember, I said we can create something take nothing and make it into something. Let's say making a meal for somebody. You know what I mean? When you make a meal, it takes multiple ingredients. Building a house, it takes a lot of different materials, and to different degrees. It depends on how big the building is, how much food you're making. But we can create. Some of y'all are great cooks. Some of y'all are great designers. Some of y'all are great painters, great plumbers. Have you ever just went out into the world with the gift that God has given us and said, wow, God, how can I use this for a labor and building in the kingdom of God? Go to one of them churches that's just starting, and you know they need a new roof. You know they need new paint. You know they need new carpet. You know they need the chairs fixed. Help them build the pew. Help them fix the bathrooms up. Help them make the beautify the outside so it can be a light draw, so the people can draw to it in the community. You look all around. McDonald's got a big yellow sign. Wendy's got a big red W sign. All this. You don't even know that church is sitting there. It just looks like an old raggedy abandoned building. But we got us as Christians don't want to get up and do the work. What is more like God that we can bring? How can we bring more order out of chaos? Because remember, the earth was without form and void, and the Spirit of God was what? Hovering over the face of the waters, right? As the Spirit of God brought order to creation, we too can bring order to the world we live in. He has given us power to do these things. We just talked about how he has given us dominion over the earth. We can bring order back. We can have them put prayer back in schools. We can bring order put prayer back in the lobby. Put the prayers back and throughout the city halls and all the White Houses. You take prayer out. When you take the power out, it becomes chaos. When we took God out of things, the world became more chaotic than it really was. We have cities where they're killing each other every day and night. They don't even want to call themselves Philadelphia no more. They call themselves Killadelphia. But can we get together and start praying that that spirit go away? Or we just sit and say, that's a shame. They just ain't doing nothing but killing each other. There's a love and a passion for people embedded in us. We are images of Christ Jesus. What do you think Jesus would be doing if death was falling all around him? If people was killing each other all around him? Do you think he would go out into the world with a bullhorn and just start speaking the truth? Start speaking the atmosphere? Because when Jesus spoke, people listened. They gathered around to hear what he was saying. He went out and did the work. Look at John the Baptist. They thought he was crazy out in the wilderness, but he did the work. He did the work. No matter what they think about us, no matter how crazy they may think you are, no matter what they say about you, if God is calling you to do the work, do the work. We can bring order. Look at the government. We can assist the government and to establish an orderly way of life and commerce. Counselors can bring order to the disorderly life of people that suffer from mental illness, bipolar. Engineers can create order out of the system they develop. And when we cleave, we bring order to chaos. Well, at least in our house, can we agree that we bring order in our homes? We have to start at our homes. We have to start at our homes. A lot of people don't think, you know, you ever get that job and you say, this is the job I always wanted. You know, you become executive. You wear fine suits and you come in with your briefcase and everybody says, hello, how you doing? How do you feel today, sir? How you feel today, ma'am? And you got the office on the second floor, the third floor with the big window and you got the big, beautiful view and you just sitting up there on your throne without a care in the world, just giving out orders, telling somebody to do this, telling somebody to do this, telling somebody to do that. Just loving it. But at the same time, everyone around you is suffering. But we have the ultimate job now to serve God. And guess what? Your office is worldwide. There's no limit to the beauty you can seek. There's no limit to how high you can go. You don't have to have a title. We have the most, our boss, we have the best benefits. We have life after death. That's the best benefit that you can get. We can speak health into our life. You don't have to go to the doctor. You can speak wealth into your life. You don't have to go get a loan. You can speak health into your family. We got to get back to doing the work. The simple thing as speaking life into a dying thing is work. But if you don't have the faith and believe that you can do these things, that is why so many people are falling around us. And we don't have an understanding. The understanding is we're not in the vineyard doing the work. The sheep are just scattered and they're everywhere. But we got to understand that God has given us a job. He brought us from the dirt to do a job. I'll be back.
For so long.
did not have a song of praise. Depression filled my day, and clouds blocked my way. But there was a voice speaking to me, awaking the passion so quiet in me, in me. So still in me.
Yes.
I choose to worship right now. My mind is made up. Is that your voice calling me into that secret place with thee? My heart is in here tonight that chooses to worship.
Yes,
I know sometimes it gets bad. I just can't lay here and give up. I choose to worship. Oh yes, I do.
I choose to worship.
I've already made up my mind. I can't give up. Come on, put those hands in the air. Say it with me, come on. I choose to worship you, Lord. I choose to worship right here in the midst of everything that I'm going through, God. Tears running down my face. Don't know where to go, don't know, have nobody to talk to. But I made up my mind, I'm going to worship you. In spirit and in truth, I bless your name. I glorify you right now. I'm desperate for your presence, God. I'm coming up. I'm a living witness, he'll heal you. Yes, he will.
He's healing me. I'm gonna worship.
Come on, I need everybody in here to help me do it right now. Come on. He's healing me.
He's healing me. I'm gonna worship.
Come on, I need you to lift yourself up out of that mess that you're in right now. Come on. Some of you have been down so long. Come on, make up your mind right now.
I'm gonna
I can't lay here and die. I gotta seek after him. I hear his voice calling me right now. He's healing me. I'm coming to you broken tonight. I'm coming to you wounded tonight. I'm coming to you right now. I need your presence in my life. I'm going to worship. Yes, I am. He's healing me.
I'm going to worship.
Oh, he's healing. Bless the Lord at all times. My heart is long for small moments with thee.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I choose to worship him. I believe that the more we worship Christ, the more power we get, the more of an understanding we get of what God wants us to do. Not only what he wants us to do, but how He wants us to do it. Amen. We have to get to that place and get that understanding of who we are and whose we are. Because we got to remember that the Bible says we are created in God's image. We have to understand that we are created in his image. We have to understand that in the beginning, how work was twisted by sin, how the enemy got in the garden and deceived both of them. I don't want to put the blame on either one, into doing what God said not do. So when that happened, we went from having dominion on earth to the women suffering through pregnancy and working, and working, it became hard. It became work. I have a script. I know I have the scripture. I'm early. In the book of Genesis, chapter 1, I think it is verse 26. It said, God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish and the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of the tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat, and to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb of meat. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. Everything that God has made is very good. We are very good people. Sometimes we just get distracted. And I found out, even as we speak, in how the enemies crept in and messed that up for Adam and Eve. And that's what happens in some of our lives. The enemy creeps in when we be on fire for Christ and be on fire to do the work. You're the first one in the church, the last one to leave. You're the first one to volunteer to do a work. You're the first one there to help the leader. You're the first one to do whatever it needs to be done to glorify God with your well-being, with your body, with your mind, with your soul, with your spirit. And then we allow the enemy to come in and play tricks on our minds. Amen. Because of down verse 15, and the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, freely. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt truly die. Ain't that amazing how God gives us basic instructions? The day you do this, you will truly die. The day that we get up and say, I quit, I surrender. I don't even believe it's us getting up saying it. Somewhere the enemy got in our minds and just made you think that serving the Lord was not worth it. After he brung us through everything, because when we was on fire for Christ, we loving it. We're praying together. We're fasting together. We're seeing souls rise up. We're seeing people get delivered. We're seeing people, families getting delivered and come together, serving God together, worshiping, praising God together. And the enemy doesn't like it. So he finds that thing and he plays that trick in your mind. He finds that thing that in your past always haunted you. And even though God has delivered you from it, he beats your brain up so much with it, you start to allow it to come back and you start letting it play the tape over and over. Instead of laying hands on your mind, instead of rebuking the enemy, instead of you telling the devil to flee. Because you can tell the devil to flee if you want to. Because some of us want pity parties. And some of us want to have a reason to surrender. Because I can't have no fun doing all this work for Jesus. What about me? What if Jesus would have said, what about him? Hallelujah. You shall surely die. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. Listen, God, he did so much for us. He didn't gave us a helpmate. Put us in the most beautiful home. Give us dominion over the whole earth. Everything that flies, everything that's in the sea, everything that crawls, everything that breathes. He has given us dominion over and even gave us a beautiful helpmate. And he designed the helpmate so well that we... let me read the scriptures, please. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him an helpmate for him. And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see. Brought them to you to see what he would call them. He had so much respect for Adam and he had so much confidence. Everything that he created, he set before Adam, set before us. Now, you name them. I'm going to ride with you. You want that to be an eagle? It's an eagle. That's a cow? That's a cow. That's a llama? That shall be called a llama. That should be a whale. That should be a snail. That should be a goat. He trusted. And he's trusting some of us right now. We're going through to the nations to do a work. He's trusting us, some of us right now, with such an anointing, but you're doing nothing with the anointing but sitting on it. You're doing nothing with the power but bragging about it. You're doing nothing but saying what you can do, what you used to do, what you did. People are dying now. Souls are dying now. People are giving up, jumping off bridges, committing suicide, being dope addicts. People are just tired. And the people with the power to speak life into them won't even open their mouth. You'll open your mouth and say, that's a shame. Where is the prayer in you? Where is the warrior in you, in us? Where is it? There should be no death around us. There should be no lack around us. There should be no doubt around us. Let me continue, please. He said, whatever you call them, and whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all the cattle, to all the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found an helpmeet for him. And the Lord caused a deep... Listen. Gave this gentleman everything, but he knew in his heart he was lonely. There was no one there to assist him. There was no one there to rub on his bald head when he was tired. There was no one there to tell him how proud they was of him. There was no one there to share the goodness of the Lord with him. There was no one there to share everything that God has given him. And God did not want him to be alone. So there's other people out in the world like that right now. And because we have the power that God gave us, like he gave Adam to go out and do a thing about it, to go out and speak. Like Adam said, that's a cow. You say, you will not die but live. We could speak that. You shall not have lack, but you shall have more than enough. You shall not die, but live. But we aren't speaking. We're not even going. We get up in the morning, oh, my God. First thing we say, oh, my God. Don't even want to share God. Oh, my God. Where is, Lord, what do you want me to do today that will make you proud? What can I do today to help save one of your children? One of your children. What can I do to go into a nation? Help me get my passport, Lord. Help me fix my credit so I can go and do what needs to be done. Help me, oh, Lord. See, when God helps us with our credit and getting our passport and getting these cars and automobiles and stuff like that, it all comes together to building the kingdom of God. I know you need these things to travel abroad, but when I give them to you, it's not for you to go on a cruise. There are people still dying. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh. Instead, therefore, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made a woman and brought her unto the man. He put him to sleep, opened him up, took the rib, closed it back up, made the woman, and brung him to him. Now, God he was just serving Adam. This is God, the creator of all things, the earth, the moon, the stars, the sky, the world. He was serving Adam, making sure all his needs were met, making sure that he lacked nothing, catered to him. He catered and gave him life. Life more abundant, gave him a helpmate, gave him the biggest zoo in the world, the biggest aquarium in the world, made the skies his, made everything in the skies his. And he didn't have to do anything because God created him for this, showed he how he loved him. Gave him everything, gave us everything. And some of us to the day, God has given everything. Because we got to remember we had nothing. So anything we didn't have and God gave us, that is everything. Because he's not done giving. But we have to stop worrying about the things that he's given us and ask him for the power, the wisdom, the instructions, to use the wisdom, the instructions of how to use the power, where to go. And when he say go, go. We got to get out that place of questioning God. I got to be the one. I've been serving you for 40 years. How come let one of the new people go? God does what he does the way he wants to do it. Amen. And there's nothing we can do about that if we truly want to serve God. God served Adam. He catered to Adam, gave him everything. There's people waiting for us to cater to them, to help give them life, to help give them another chance at life, to help give them just a frame of mind that give them hope. But we have to give them hope in Christ Jesus, not in us. Give them hope in Christ Jesus. Hold on to them. Pray with them. Squeeze them. Tell them how God loves them. Tell them what God did for you. Tell them where you was at your worst time and God brought you out of it. Don't brag about your Mercedes. Tell them when you was molested. Tell them when you was raped. Tell them when there was incest going on in your family, but God brought you out of it. Tell them when you lost, didn't see a way out, but God brought you out of it. We don't want to do that. We don't want to do that. And that might be the work that God wants you to do, because that work helps work on you too. It helps work on those things that you're still dealing with too. But when we talk about it, you know, I was always taught in school when I was learning math, if you don't share it, you won't keep it. Because just because you know a thing, if you don't use it, if you don't do something with it, you end up losing it. I don't want to lose my testimony. So if I every chance I get to tell somebody about what God has done for me, it might help somebody else live. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She will be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, and the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Now, here's where the trick came in. This is where the work became twisted. This is where everything in the Bible, because in the Bible we observe the presence of how sin has corrupted desire for the good work we were created to do. And it has made work itself difficult. It made work difficult because in chapter 3, verse 17 through 19, what does it say? And unto Adam he said, because thou hast what? Hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying thou shalt not eat of it. Now, he has a right to talk to Adam, like gave Adam everything he needed, trusted Adam with the world, gave it to him. All he asked was not to do one thing. All he asks us is not to sit on our anointings. All he's asking us is not to let our neighbors die. All he's asking us is not to sit back and not pray for someone that's not saved. He's asking us to not give up on him. He's asking us not to throw in the towel. He's given us everything we've asked for. Search your mind, search your spirit, search your past. And if, tell me or tell yourself, Jesus has given you everything you've asked for. And you might be in a situation where you can say, I didn't ask for this. But in that situation, God will get glory them enough and believe that he's still working in our lives. Hallelujah. Give God praise for that. Amen. Hallelujah. Shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake, and sorrow shalt thou eat of it, shall the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt what? Shalt eat the herb of the fields, and the sweat of the face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground. For out of it was thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. And the sweat of thy face. Adam is now sweating. When it was work, it wasn't even work. We listen to the enemy and let him tell us that it is not my place to do that. That's the pastor's job. That's the bishop's job. That's the deacon's job. Choir leader's job. God didn't call me to get up and go give out no tracts. He didn't go tell me to go minister to nobody. I'm just a church member. I thank God for saving me, but I just want to go to church. I just want to go to church. I just want to go to church on Sundays. I just want to go to church on Wednesdays. I want to give my offering. I ain't giving tithes because I need that, but I'm going to give my offering and just go to church, read my Bible, come home, and start that process all over again. Ain't that something? Some of us reject the work. Or some of us are tempted to reject the work because if we face it, work, doing the work is difficult. You'll have what we call carefree days, but there are seasons when you'll feel so tired and defeated, whether you find it too challenging or
or we struggle with laziness and worship rest, and we worship leisure time, and we wrestle with a desire to reject work just outright. We just reject it. Then we might be tempted to twist work around. We might be have been tempted to accept money under the table. You know, them jobs where they give you money under the table to push through some kind of deal. Do we feel inclined to fudge the numbers on the sales quota? If you're a writer or author or artist, have you stole somebody else's work and say it's yours? Because it doesn't matter what type of work you do, you will face temptation to twist it with sin. Look at the presidents. Look at greed slips in. People work in a bank. Some of us tempted to steal. People work in the cash, check cash in place. Sometimes we're just tempted to do things that's not right. We just twisted work all around to benefit us when it should be benefiting the glory of God. I just want to share a couple of things before we close. Amen. A few things that God says about work. Because Jesus has taken the thorns and the thistles we work among. And if you, let me open my Bible again because I shed it. Excuse me. Go with me to the book of Genesis chapter 1. I had to go to the beginning because this is the foundation of work. This is the foundation of what God is speaking to. 1:18, and it reads, we just read it. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him and help meet for him. God has given us someone to assist us in doing the work. Amen. Because Jesus has taken the thorns and the thistles we work among, and we wore a crown of thorns. He wore a crown of thorns on his head as a reminder that he is indeed the King of Kings and Lords of Lords. Book of Revelation speaks on that, chapter 19, verse 16. Amen. Because I don't, like I said, it has to be the Bible. Because when it's the Bible, we're accountable for that. We can't say, oh, I didn't know. Maybe he was just saying that. The Bible says it. And he have on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. The crown of thorns the Roman soldiers placed on Jesus' head with the intent of mocking him turned out to be a picture of Jesus' rule and reign as the one true king. The things that people is meant to do bad, the things that people are meant to make you look bad and try to make you seem less than, God will turn that thing around. We have to get back and get out of the unemployment line, but get back into the working field for Christ. Listen to me. Ask Christ when this show is over, Father God, what is it that you desire me to do for the building of your kingdom? What work has you called me to do? What talents have you given me to do the work? What wisdom? Because we're not even activating, even tapping into the things that God has given us to be successful in doing the work. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because as our Lord Jesus works to redeem all things, he has redeemed our life through faith in him. And if you've lost your faith, or you're not operating in your faith, and you're not walking in your faith, that might be the reason we're not doing some of the work. He has delivered us from the penalty and power of sin, the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. You and I are empowered to redeem our work for the glory of God and the good of others. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And remember something, and always remember that Jesus is our boss. How do you work for an employer? Do you work for him or her as you would for Jesus? It's easy for our eyes of faith to become glassy at work and forget who it is we work for. It's easy because we don't see Jesus. We don't see the check every week or every other week. We just don't. But if we really look, we are benefited every day he wakes us up. We are blessed with riches every day he wakes up. The riches of life, the riches of wisdom, the riches of health, the riches of understanding, the riches of knowledge, the riches that he loves us enough to wake us up. See, we got to understand, he may not be a crew leader. He might not be physically sitting in the office watching our every move, or he might not be the one signing the checks physically, but he is the one that we are supposed to work for. Because Paul had this in mind when he said, whatever you do, work heartily, as for the Lord and not for men. You are serving the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to get this last scripture to just verify what I just read, and then we're going to pray out and we're going to have a song, and I'm hoping that we come off the unemployment line and get back on that line of working for Christ, that we repent for lacking on our job, that we repent for stealing Jesus' time, that we repent for acting like we're working and he has been paying us every day and we haven't been working. He paid for it every day. He gave his life on the cross and we're not gave his life for us to be in a better position to do a work. The book of Colossians chapter 3 verse 23 and 24 reads, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. And we got to remember, we have the best benefits. We don't need a raise because every time he raises up in the morning, that should be a raise enough. Every time he takes us from bad health to good health, that should be raised enough. Every time he blesses with a supernatural blessing, that should be raised enough. Every time he delivers our children, our family, our friends, that should be raised enough. Every time he allows us to come in his presence and he ministers to us and mold us and take away that thing that's hindering us and cry, making us cry, and those things that he has delivered us from, that should be raised enough. We have benefits. Every time he wakes us up in the morning, that's a benefit. Hallelujah. What did you eat for breakfast? Did you enjoy that warm bowl of oatmeal and that hot cup of coffee and your toast and your BLT? Did you enjoy that? How about those scrambled eggs and bacon? Pick up something through the drive-thru on your way to work. See, because regardless of what you ate this morning, you have to remember there's countless people participated in God's work of providing you your daily bread. From farmers who planted the seed and truck drivers who transported your food to the grocery store, clerks who sold you what you ate, bankers who provided business with financial resources, numerous people without even knowing each other participate together in God's work and providing for one another. God is at work in our life. And through our life in more ways than you can imagine. Even though we may not see how what he does, even though we may not see how what you do benefits others, know that God has chosen us to act through us. God has chosen to act through us, our skills and our experience for the good of others. We can trust God with your work. Are you stressed at work? If you haven't felt this way at one point or another, you probably haven't worked long enough. There are many causes of stress work. At work, there's crushing deadlines, conflict with our coworkers or manager, or we're not compassionate well for hard work that we do. Regardless of what makes us feel stressed at work, we are free, Christ, from anxiety. And we can trust God wholeheartedly to meet our needs. Meet us in the storm of life and work through us despite what's going on around us. This has been your Fix It Six, and I have been your host, Pastor Keeping It Real McNeil. I pray and hope that this word fell on fertile ground. I pray and hope that we are all impacted by God's word, and I hope that we are all impacted to do the work, impacted to do the labor, impacted to do what God has called us and designed us and raised us up and imparted in us and filled us with to do. I pray that we all have a good labor day and we won't forget to labor for the Lord. So, Father God, we thank you for what you have allowed to happen this evening. We thank you for the air where he's being free enough for us to go there to speak your goodness of your word and speak the goodness of you. We thank you for reminding us from the beginning you have called us to do a work, that you have given us dominion over the earth, and we thank you. So now, Father God, put in our hearts and our minds and our spirits to do what you have called us to do, to have dominion over the earth, Father, to speak freely, to speak life in those dead things, God, to bring life back to those dead things, Father, to bring you back to the nations, to bring prayer back to the nations, to bring worship back to the nations, to more than anything, that we come together to glorify you, to praise you, to worship you, to continue to work for you, and to continue to give our lives for you. We ask you to bless our family, our friends, our loved ones, and we ask you to bless our enemies here in the States. We ask you to bless our enemies abroad. We ask you even to bless the enemies we know what we not have. But we thank you for coming forth and using us to do your work. Thank you for accepting our application. And because we applied for this job through the prayer of salvation, call us on it. You have given us a job, and we thank you for choosing us to do so. In Jesus' name, I've said this prayer. Amen. We have a song.
Believe in my spirit that not only is God restoring things to you, but he's restoring you back to where you belong. Can you just lift your hand in the atmosphere and shout, I've been restored. Shout it again, I've been restored. Thank you.
make you stronger than you were before. You've been restored.
Blessed evening and good night.